Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for that important word and speaking into that important topic for us as a community, as a body of Christ. It's important for us to wrestle with that and to be a part of solutions. So thank you. And thank you, Candy, for sharing about feeding Hong Kong. And yes, I moved more boxes than I thought I was going to that day, so I had to buy a candy bar afterwards because my blood sugar was low, but it was an easy thing to do. And Michelle, it's great to have you here after your baptism. It's good to be the church today. It's great to be gathered and scattered. If you're wherever you are right now, we're excited that you're a part of this as we come together to worship God. Today we talk about the power of connection, the importance of being connected to one another. And this is what we get to do. This is how we get to be as the body of Christ. We were made for connection. Globally, we can see that we are more connected than ever. We can watch images, sometimes tragic images, sometimes life-giving images around the world. We're more connected than ever, but actually, relationally, I think we're more isolated than ever, more disconnected, more unhealthy relationships, more lack of really deep connections with one another, but we were made for it. Because deep down, I don't think we will change or we will grow without relationship. So let's welcome God into this time as we look to Him. God, we do thank you that you offer us relationship and that you not only offer us relationship, God, you have wired us for relationship. And so I pray as we come around your word, God, come around this topic this morning, that you be speaking to our hearts, that you be speaking to our minds, God, that we're open to the transforming work that you want to do in us today. In your name we pray. Amen. So what does a baby do when it's born? Hopefully. Cry, right? Why does it cry? Because a connection has been broken, right? It is crying because things have changed in its mind, not in a good way. And we were wired for this from the very beginning to have that connection. I love what Brené Brown says about what connection is. She says it's the energy that is created between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued. It's what we were wired for. It's what God has made us for, to be in community together. She goes on to say in a closely related topic about belonging, true belonging only happens when we present our authentic selves, imperfect selves to the world. Our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. So being connected is being able to be who we really are with a people, with a person. This connection with God is that primary connection, that upward connection. But what are challenges to our connections with one another? And this is for online too. What are challenges to connection, maybe specifically to Hong Kong right now? What would be, and you can just shout them out. What are challenges to being connected? Different political views. Yes, that's a challenge, especially here. What else? Other ways that are struggles for us to connect. COVID. Yeah. You can't see it online, but everybody I'm looking at has a face mask, right? I'm just pretending they're smiling at me right now and encouraging me. But yeah, we had our first life group last night in 3 months, in-person life group, and it was great. But during COVID, it's been a challenge to connect. Being vulnerable. Yeah. That's a barrier if we pretend everything is okay. How about time? Does connection take time? When we're busy people, it has to be prioritized. One thing we've already talked about, racism, whether it's in the U.S. or here, separates us. Economic barriers in our society break connection in community. Somebody lifted up politics. If I were to say yellow and blue right now, already it might be stirring something in you. OK, because we have differences of opinion and these can create barriers. But I hope as a church that we will disagree well when we disagree. As a church, we're not looking to have everybody think the same way. So there will be tensions. Well, there'll be tensions in this season as we are in Hong Kong together. And we'll unpack this more throughout the year. How do we disagree in love versus disagreeing in hate? As a family, how do we disagree? A healthy family. How does a healthy family walk through disagreements? Do they stay together in the midst of challenging, diverse topics? When my brother and I would disagree, when I was a kid, we would come to blows, right? We would actually physically hit each other. It's how we settled our disputes. That is not how I want us to settle our disagreements. To cut ourselves off from community, to disagree and to use sharp words, but to disagree in love, because it breaks connection otherwise. So our connection primarily as believers is with Christ. His connection, hopefully, is a greater connection than anything else that would divide us as a community. Any of those challenges to community, hopefully those are not more important in our lives than actually Christ and what he has done and who he is for our connection. And that's where our primary connection comes through as believers. And what does God say to us about that connection? In 2 Corinthians 6:18, he says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters," says the Lord Almighty. That's a beautiful verse. In 1 John, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. How do those verses make you feel? What does it evoke in you? Just shout out answers and type them online if you'd like. How do those verses make you feel? You have to speak loudly through the masks because they can muffle the sound. Secure, yeah. What else does it evoke?
Cherished,
yeah. What other feelings?
Privileged.
Yeah. That's good. We're created good. We're created by Father God who loves us, who is generous with his love. There's a security in that. There's a comfort in that. There's a warmth in that.
We were in a praying seminar, a bunch of us, last week, and this verse was written down, and then the moderator said, "Well, what words describe your relationship right now? Do they match up with those same words of loved and cherished and privileged?" Sometimes there can be a disconnect, can't there? Our connection with God can be broken, and our connection with one another can be broken, right? Sometimes we miss hearing what God says to us. It's no wonder that the enemy goes after this relationship right away. We see the nearness of God to his creation in Genesis 2 and Adam and Eve, and that God walks with his creation in the garden, that he calls the creation good. But no sooner does that happen than the enemy wants to sever that connection. Remember in Genesis 3, the snake appears to Eve, and what does the snake say? "Did God really say you couldn't eat that? Is that really going to be harmful to you?" He begins to put doubt in Eve's mind about the connection she has with God and God's intentions. Are you really worthy? Are you really privileged? Are you really cherished? Are you really loved? Maybe God doesn't really think that highly of you. Maybe that's why he doesn't want you to taste this fruit. The snake doesn't say, "Let's go talk to God about this. Let's be reminded of what God says." No, he isolates Eve. And he does the same to us, robbing the truths that we should know in our heart about God's desire for us. God desires to connect as a loving parent to us and desires us to be close. And we were meant for rich and deep connections, both with God and one another. And we can be that connection for one another. Now, my dad was in the Army. He was in the Army for over 23 years, and he was in the Vietnam War. And he flew on a lot of helicopters during his three tours there. And chances are, if you're in the war and you're flying in helicopters, you're going to be shot down. And he was. Five different times, actually, he was shot down. And I wasn't born yet, so I'm glad he survived, obviously, each of those times. But what happens when you are in war, in the helicopter, you're shot down, the first question is, where am I? Where am I right now? And where is the enemy? You got to figure this out really quickly. And for us, in the midst of relationships, in the midst of needing to be connected, in the midst of all the turmoil we see globally, where am I? Where the enemy is? Where are the lies the enemy is telling me? And the third question that he would need answered is, where's my team? Where's my friend? Where's my buddy that was in the helicopter with me? Because if he can find that person, he can get answers to those first two questions. And that's what strong connections do for us. They help us to figure out the world. They help us to figure out where we are in relation to other people. They help us to figure out where we are in relationship to God. We need good friends. Proverbs tells us, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Don't we want that type of friend? Somebody who sticks closer than a brother. Now, this concept I want to walk us through, I heard by a psychologist called Henry Cloud, and he talks about the four corners of connection, four different ways that we can relate to people that we have relationship with. And I think it's helpful for us to sort of think through a grid of the relationships that we're walking in with other people. What is the first thing you do when you're landing in a plane in the city, when you're flying back to Hong Kong? We haven't done this in a while, but what's one of the first things you do? Probably, right? Turn on your phone, right? If you're a guy, you might have turned it on before you landed, right? And what does it say? It says searching. It's searching for a connection, right? And just as much as we want our phone to be connected, we need to be connected as well with other people. But this first corner of connection is actually the opposite of that. It's no connection. We might know people in this corner. We might be in this corner. There might be people that are a struggle to reach out to, who have put walls around themselves, who are isolated, or we ourselves might be here. I remember my first year of high school. I went to a different high school than all my friends from the previous year. And that first year was incredibly painful. It was very isolating. I remember showing up my first day of school and going, where am I going to be? Where am I going to fit in? Where am I going to eat lunch? Who am I going to hang out with? Anytime there's a new beginning, it's a challenge, right? To move out of this corner of no connection. When you're brand new at church, you're probably thinking, will somebody reach out to me and welcome me here? I saw, actually, last service, we had somebody here for the very first time in the midst of red rain, and she was here, and somebody reached out to her, and actually, I saw two or three people talking with her, and I hope that everybody that comes here has somebody reach out to them. When you're new in the office, right, where am I going to fit in? Who will be my friend in this place? It can be a challenging place to be in when we're not connected. We want to get out of this spot, right? We'll do anything usually to get out of this spot. And that brings us to number two, and that's an unhealthy connection. Unhealthy connection. Now, what are unhealthy connections? They're connections where we're made to feel bad about ourselves. It might be a partner who's always shaming us. It might be a boss who's never satisfied. It could be somebody who's a friend that only points out the bad in your life, right? These can stir up memories, right? These can stir up the lies the enemy would have us believe. You're not worthy. You don't matter. You're not privileged. You're not cherished, right? We might try to connect through achievement. Maybe if I can just be really good, right? We might want to think if I can be perfect, then I'll be loved and accepted. If I can do everything just right, then I'll have a connection, right? You might think it's not okay to not be okay. But maintaining identity through performance, it's a full-time job, and it's exhausting. And ultimately, it falls apart. We can do this in the church as well, can't we? We struggle to connect, and so we'll try to fit in. We'll wear a mask, right? Not a medical mask to keep the spread of germs, but we'll wear a mask to hide our identity. Because will we be loved and will we be accepted? What if they knew this about me? What would they say? What would they think? Instead of being places of grace and mercy, churches can be judgmental and critical. And sometimes the longer you're a believer, the more tempting it is to put on a facade. I've been a Christian this long and I still struggle with. I can't share that. What will people think of me? And so we have these unhealthy connections. But God is saying, confess. Confess what it is you want forgiven. Share about the brokenness that you want healed, because he will. If you cover it up because of shame, we keep other people from seeing it. We keep ourselves from getting better. Now, if we believe these lies ourselves, it adds weight to what we're hearing from the outside. Henry Nouwen speaks truth into this. He says, the three lies of identity: I am what I do, I am what I have, and I am what others say about me. We begin to define ourselves on these things instead of what God says about you, instead of the truth he has for you. We forget 2 Corinthians, where God speaks life and says, I call you my sons and daughters. 1 John, where I lavish my abundant love upon you. And we begin to fall away from that worthiness and that self-acceptance. So this can drive us to another corner, corner number three, which we'll call pseudo-connections. Pseudo-connections. These are connections that we go to feel better about ourselves, to relieve the pain of isolation, to relieve the pain of unhealthiness. We just want to feel good. It might be an illicit relationship. It might be an addiction. It might be illicit sex. It might be materialism. It might be a hobby that takes up way too much time. It feels good for a moment, but the connection is not rich and deep. Or socially acceptable ways to have these connections, to put all your energy into achievement of making more money, of being idealized by those around you, looking good in front of others. Corner three is anything that we turn to make us feel good, but in reality, it doesn't improve our lives. It's momentary. It's not transformative. It becomes escapism. It becomes addiction. It doesn't help to fuel our growth. It takes us away from real transformation. These pseudo connections could also be things like surface connections. We could call this the Instagram corner, right? Where we spend time curating our image. I know I can do that. Not so much on Instagram, but maybe Facebook. I think I only have like 5 or 6 Instagram posts, right? But it's the image we want other people to see around us. You know, what we want to project, and that might not always be real. So these things make us feel good for a moment. We might retreat back into these unhealthy things, or we might decide maybe not being connected at all is easier, but what we long for is real connection. Real connection where we can be real, authentic, where we can be who we are, we can be loved and accepted. And see, these four corners don't just relate to how we relate to other people. We could actually relate to God in these ways as well. We might not have a connection to God. We might not feel he wants to love us, or maybe he only wants this perfect version of myself when I'm serving as much as I can, when I'm giving as much as I should be, when I'm praying every day. That's the God who wants me, and we think that's the only version that he wants. Or we think, I just go to God when I want to feel good. That's the only time I need him. But God says, I want a real connection with you. I want you to be who you are with me. And we want that with one another as well. We want these real connections that help us to thrive. See, God has wired us for these connections, and in fact, he's lavished his love on us that we can depend on him and we can depend on other people. And it says in 1 John 4:19 that we love because he first loved us. We are known, we're loved. And that connection to God, that love that he gives to us, can fuel our connection inwardly and outwardly. And this is the essence of thriving, that we have relationships that can hold us accountable, that we're in relationships that can not just say encouraging things, but challenging things. I was talking to two guys after the first service, and they were saying that it's so hard to be here because these are not just saying platitudes or flattery, but being real. And they were sharing about an experience, a conversation they had this last week where there was pushback. And the other responded saying, you know what, you're right. And it sharpened his thinking, and it actually created a moment of growth for him. And they were sharing. I said, well, you guys have already applied this before you even heard it. That's wonderful. And this is what we want as community, to be able to be real, to have these examples where we can be real with one another. So where are you spending your time? Now, certainly not every relationship can be this way, and some people are just acquaintances, and we're not able to have this with everybody, but those relationships that you should be close with, where are you spending your time, and where would you rather spend your time? Because it can be risky to go here. We can believe the lies of the enemy, and maybe those around us, they're not worthy of it, that we won't be accepted if we're really who we are, that we won't be loved. And God says otherwise. We can set down the lie that perfection is what's required of being loved and accepted, and believe that Jesus says you already are loved and accepted. And we can be a community that models that for one another, that can model that extravagant love and that extravagant grace that we ourselves have been given. See, Jesus undoes the lie of the enemy back in the Garden of Eden. He undoes these lies of pseudo-unhealthy and no connection, and he creates an opportunity for us to be real. He gives us that chance and desires that we walk into it, because you are worthy of good connection, friends. And I want to be a community where we see this growing more and more and more, of authentic relationships with one another. Let's pray, because we can't do this on our own. God, I thank you that you, in fact, are here and you are working in this community and you're working in our lives. And I pray that we would be open to your Holy Spirit working even more in this area, that we could believe the truth that you tell us, that we are loved, that you are a good father, that you lavish your love upon us, and that we are worthy of good connections, not just with you, but with other people, God. Give us the courage, God, to risk these real connections. Give us the courage to press into difficult things, I pray. And may we be a community, God, that models what you desire for us. In your name, Jesus, amen. 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 That is a good word to finish on. Oh, how he loves us. May we believe it, church. May we believe it not just in our minds, but in our hearts, that we have a God who is so generous with his love. He desires this connection. As I went off the stage, I realized I didn't draw any arrows, actually, to the real connection. That was not very encouraging. No matter where we are, we can strive and go into this real connection with one another and with God. May we be a people that desires both, that desires depth, that desires richness of relationship.